Thought for today. This is Dr. Herbert Barley, Dean of the University of Healing. Thought for today, our topic is, hugs are the medicine of the heart and the soul. As children, we require hugs and enjoy their security and well-being. We can do the same thing as adults. Hugs are the medicine of the heart and soul. As children, we require hugs and enjoy their security and well-being. We can do the same thing as adults. Now, when did we stop giving hugs as humanity? When did we stop giving hugs? We stopped giving hugs when we were in different cultures. Now, the German culture is not much for hugging. And people who come out of the German culture don't get a lot of hugs. The French people don't give much hugs. They kiss on both cheeks and stuff like that, but they don't give much hugs. The Italian people hug a lot, but it doesn't mean anything. They just hug and hug and hug and hug, but it doesn't mean I love you. It just means, you know, I got to hold on to you because I'm almost drunk and I'm falling over with all the wine I'm drinking. But no, it's not very nice. The Italians won't like that. And the Indian people are always bowing to each other. And so are the Japanese and the Chinese. They're always bowing to each other and being subservient to each other. They don't have that feeling of camaraderie and feeling of oneness with one another, and that's unfortunate, you know. The Africans, they just nod at each other. There's not too much hugging as a societal relationship. In England, in the medieval times, the knights had to take off their glove and shake hands. Now, the reason they had to take off their glove was to show that they were not hiding a knife or something. And it was merely a defensive thing. And in France, of course, they use their handkerchief and they wave that around like a some sort of a strange object. But cultures through the ages and hugs through the ages have been sort of the domain of mother and child. And then as soon as the child was old enough to be called a boy, then the mother didn't hug him anymore. Mother said, now be a man, you know. And the girls were always huggable, and they were supposed to be hugged. But usually it was with an end result. It was hugged because they wanted to have a relationship or something like that. And hugs have never really stood their own position as well as they could. Now let's take a step further, and let's go to the hospital. And you go in the hospital room and you see someone lying in bed sick. So you reach down and give them a hug. Why? I mean, you don't know them. You don't. It may be your father. It may not be. It may just be a friend. But you have the right to reach down and hug them. You have the right to touch them. You have the right to pat them on the cheek or on the fanny or on the wherever, you know, and say, I love you, and say, I see you whole and perfect, I see you well. You have the right to do that for some reason or other. You're sort of immune from being misunderstood. Now, what a sad commentary on humanity, that to share love, we have to be cautious so that we're not misunderstood. And rather, how nice it would be if we were from childhood on taught to hug. No shaking hands, but hugging. Mm-hmm. Oh, some women or some men, they throw their body against the other person like, let's have sex, you know. But that's up to you. That's up to you. If someone does that to you, don't even notice it unless you want to notice it. If someone is very aggressive to you, don't even notice it. Just love them gently. If you love back with a gentleness, the aggressiveness dissolves and disappears. Next time someone comes up and hugs you real tight with a lot of aggression, you hug them very gentle and very loving, and you watch. Within a moment, they will release their grip and they will be gentle too. somehow you created them being aggressive. Somehow you created them being confrontational, you know. Now, you don't need to know why. All you need to do is realize, hey, I did that. I changed it by being gentle myself. Just when they hug tight, then you hug tight. Well, don't do that. When someone gives you a handshake, put your hand right into the crotch of your thumb and your forefinger there, and they will always hug. They'll always shake hands gently. But if you let them catch you at the on the middle of your hand, they want to crush it, you know. It's just, that's the nature of the beast and the nature of the circumstance. But if you always put your hand straight in there, and that's right, see, right straight in there, what you're doing, you're in the acupressure punch. Now, hold your hand there. Now, if you do like this, the tendency is to crush, and that's silly. That's silly. And if anyone ever does that to you, just say, hey, open your hand. And they'll open their hand, and you slide right on in. And then you shake hands firmly, but gently, you know. Hugs, a handshake is like a hug, but a handshake is a distant cousin from a hug. The hug is the real thing. The hug is the real sharing, the real loving. Now, we said when you go into a hospital room, you give a person a hug who is in bed there and not feeling too well. You give a friend a hug who is in bed, who is not feeling too well, sitting in their chair with their whatever they have, you know, things. Oh, and so you just give them a hug, and you say, "I love you. I see you whole and perfect. You look just wonderful. Now, hurry up back to the office. Now, hurry up back to the soccer game. Hurry up back to where." And guys can even hug other guys, you know. And girls, of course, have always hugged each other. But the thing is, it's a wonderful thing to be free in your hugging. Don't hug a person because you're supposed to. Hug a person because it's your nature. And if you are a man or a woman, hug freely and openly. It is one of the most healing activities that you could do. It takes away doubt. It takes away fear. It takes away anger. It takes away hurt, anxiety. It takes away all of it. But what it does, it plants love. It plants caring. It plants sharing. It plants the overcoming of the obstacle of not doing it. To reach out and hug somebody, it's really strange, really wonderful. We have many people come to the ranch here, and I'll say, hey, we hug here. And so then they hug, and they say, no, I like that, you know. And I say, now, when you go home, hug your family. Well, they'll say, what's wrong, you know? Well, only for the first couple times. After that, they'll say, hey, that's the way my dad is. He hugs. My dad's a hugger. Boy, he must be a sexy guy. Well, I don't know about sexy guy, but he's a hugger, and he's wonderful. I love him, you know. People want to right away interpret things into a domain that is not really where it belongs. And just like when people are naked, right away they think sex. If people are hugging, sex, you know. If people are kissing, sex. And that's the farthest thing that should be. Sex should be so far down the road, the most natural result of whatever might come along, but it's not the purpose. The purpose is to love. The purpose is to share your love. The purpose is to create in your world the most wonderful, glorious person you could ever imagine. And when you create the most glorious, wonderful person you could ever imagine in your world, you must be the most glorious, wonderful person you could ever imagine. Really. Think about these things. Think about these things very seriously. Because hugs are the medicine of the heart and the soul. They allay all anger and fear. And they espouse love, harmony, peace, joy, right action, truth, and happiness. Now that's quite a handful that can result from hugs. As children, we require hugs and enjoy their security and well-being. we go up to mommy, mommy, I'm hurting, give me a hug. And she doesn't need to say, give me a hug. Mother just knows that she gives him a hug. And sometimes the kid has to remind her because she's busy doing something else. And when the boy goes up and sits on his daddy's lap and he says, Daddy, give me a hug. And daddy wraps his arms around the boy or the girl or whoever it may be and snuggles him and reads the paper to them. They're not interested in the paper, but they're interested in the fact that Papa's reading the paper to them, that he's taken the time. Now, there are some so-called super brilliant children who say, oh, you forgot that word, you forgot that line, you know, you skipped a page. And those stupid kids, you know, they don't realize they're messing up this hugging, loving, because father, mother doesn't really care to be with a snippy kid who knows better, you know. Hey, ignore the fact that the parents skipped the page. You know, they might have stuck together with some chocolate you might have had on them, you know. But ignore that. Just go right on. Go right on. Let them flow. Let them share with you. And let that love, that's the moment you start saying, oh, let's discuss the bills, the idea of love goes right out the window. But the moment you say, gee, you look beautiful. Now, we had a big argument here, and that big argument happened yesterday, and it was over Little Eagle, Paul Aaron Byerly. And the big argument was, he's a handsome boy. Oh, no, no, he is really handsome. He is really a good-looking boy. No, no, he's just handsome. No, but, you know, they were discussing how handsome he was. And everyone observed them differently. Now, why were they having an argument as to how handsome he was? Because whatever he was, he was. Because each person was trying to show their great affection for him. And the way to show it, they felt, was telling how handsome he was. But the moment you do that, you're in trouble. He's a handsome boy, period. Not how handsome or handsome, and you could look at him and you say, he's not a handsome boy. He's just a nice looking guy, you know. And you could look at him and you say, well, why do you call him Little Eagle? Well, because he's 1/8 or 1/16 Indian. And he is in line to receive funds from the Indian tribe that he belongs to, but he's never applied for it. And he could have had that all his life. And his mother could have had it too, but she didn't apply for it. And his grandmother, who was half Indian, she could have had it, you know. But, you see, these are all little things. And they don't want to apply for it because they think that it's not rightfully theirs. And it is rightfully theirs. It is part of their origin, heritage. And now, if I am a German and I am maybe 1/8 or 1/16 or whatever I may be, Pop, Grandpa was German, Pop was, of course, German, born out of Germany, but not in Germany, but he was born of total German parents, so that makes him 100% German. And mother was the same way, so they're both 100% Germans, and that I'm born out of 100% Germans, so I'm 100% German. So what they are doing, Germany ran into a windfall and had $60 trillion that they had to divide up among all the real Germans living on the face of the earth, wherever they may be. And so you divide up $60 trillion among, let's say, a trillion Germans. And that's quite a few, a trillion Germans. So that would mean that each German would get $1 trillion, you know? And wouldn't that be fascinating? Mm-hmm. And what would you do with $1 trillion? You don't even know how to count it. But it's just the fun of the amusement of thinking about these things. And you see, that's what a hug does. That's what going back to your lineage, going back to your family, and recognizing that there's just love, just peace, and just harmony there. And it's fun just to sort of banter it around. And here you are, the grandson of a very wealthy man who died. And he made his will out that the grandsons in order The firstborn gets X, the secondborn gets Y, the thirdborn gets Z, you know, grandson, granddaughter, down the line. And so, you know, that's pretty nice. That's pretty nice. And so, who is the firstborn? Well, not me, unfortunately. But Ray in our family would be the firstborn. So he would get the lion's share of whatever was coming out. And that's a hug. That's a hug. The grandfather might not have been able to hug his kids, but he shared with them openly, without restriction. And you know what a lot of men and women do when they die? I mean, when they die, before they die. They don't know how to hug, but they love the children in the community. So they go around donating parks in every city, and they supply that park with everything that's part of their will, to go to XYZ cities and put in beautiful parks, to buy a lovely piece of property right in the middle of the town. Doesn't matter if it's a big apartment building on it or something, but they put a park in it, you know, so that the children have a place to play and things to do. Now that's a hug, and that's a wonderful thing. So hugs are the medicine of the heart and the soul. As children, we require hugs and enjoy their security and well-being. We can do the same thing as adults. So our thought for today is, hugs are the medicine of the heart and soul. So take your medicine now. I love you.
Love you.
Love you.